Hey, everybody, every time we do this show, we have sponsors and they tell us, oh, can you read this ad? Can you say this thing? Can you not use violence? Can you not curse during it? And I say yes, yes, and yes. But you know what? There's one sponsor who's like, we don't even want you to read an ad. Just tell them Cards Against Humanity is sponsoring today's show. And that's what I'm doing. It's a great board game. You should play it. It's not even a board game. It's a card game. Cards Against Humanity, play it because they're fucking cool. Also, for those of you in Los Angeles, we're doing a live show September 20th at Largo. Get your tickets at largo-la.com. Come out and see us. It will be fun. Hey, everybody who talks about movies and celebrates movies seems to have an award show, and we are no different. Welcome to the first annual Howdy Awards!
Now it's time for Howdy Discovery. We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater. Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? I am Paul Scheer, joined as always by Jason Manzoukas. How are you, Jason?
Absolutely great, Paul.
Glad to hear it. And June Diane Raphael, how are you, June?
I'm doing really well, Paul. Thanks.
All right, so this is our first ever award show covering 88 movies.
We are wearing tuxedos.
We are wearing tuxedos. It is done in front of a live studio audience.
June, you look beautiful in your gown.
Thank you.
Who are you wearing?
This is actually just a tuxedo dress.
Tuxedo dress
really that pretty. I just put together myself.
Wow. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
It is beautiful. We walked the red carpet.
Oh, there's so many people out there.
Stars came out tonight.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, did they ever.
So many people here. It's kind of like a mini Academy Awards.
Yep. I walked the Manny Cam. Or whatever that is.
Oh, that was really
for
great.
My manicure, to show off my manicure.
You actually did that thing with Joan Rivers where you walked your fingers down the aisle.
I walked my fingers down the mani cam.
Really, really nice. And, you know, and Joan
you
Rivers
just have
is
the
great.
Nail art of the film reels? Is
yes,
that what it
just
is?
Just film reels.
God.
Just film reels. And one poop emoji.
Well, we have done 88
That's the
movies
finger
more.
I stick in my butt.
That's it. That's how we know that's not the hand to shake.
That's how you know. That's not to touch that finger because that's the butt finger.
Guys, we have done this show for a very long time, and I have some stats compiled by Alan O'Sullivan, an avid listener. I wanted to throw these by you. Okay. The year that most of the films that we talked about was 2011. We covered 9 movies released in 2011,
yeah?
Which is interesting. If you add up the time that we spent listening to the minis, the podcast, and watching the movies, you come up with 15,334 minutes, or 256 hours, or 10.7 days of content. Yes. So if you were to do this entire show, it'd be 10.7 days.
Which we have done.
Yes.
We have spent 10 days, more than 10 days, if you count like all the ancillary stuff that we've done around it, more than 10 days
of our life has been doing this.
I don't know if that's amazing or depressing.
That's really upsetting to me.
June, here, you can tell us this. All right. So this is the total cost to make all 88 movies that we have covered.
Okay, so the total cost to make all these movies is $4,564,760 million. Yes.
All right, so that's how much it costs to make, and then what is the box office of all?
The box office is $9 trillion.
Wow.
Oh, interesting.
$3,976,774.
Not bad. That's a lot of math. And now
that's a lot of money for what we regard as very bad movies.
Yes.
That's correct.
And then this is the most interesting fact.
Because you've also got to figure there's a bunch of movies in there that made zero money.
Yes.
That made almost nothing. There's
like
a bunch
Gooby.
Of our movies like Gooby.
Gooby did not make a lot. But
Gooby did not make a lot of money.
Well, this is the interesting thing as far as percentages, according to Alan. The most profitable movie was Sleepaway Camp with a profit/loss percentage of +3,042%.
This is too difficult for me.
I know, it's a lot.
Say that
Sorry.
Again.
All right, so basically, Sleepaway Camp cost $350,000 and it earned 11, is that 11 million?
Yes.
It earned $11 million.
No. No.
11 million.
Yeah.
I think...
No, Sleepaway Camp could have made $11 million.
Yeah, over,
it was like,
yeah.
Didn't we talk about it being like successful
it
when it came out?
It was successful when it came out, yeah.
$11 million?
Over time. Yes. It's also DVD like releases. A culty DVD, a VHS okay. movie.
And then you can read
I don't think that's outrageous.
And then the least profitable movie was The Adventures of Pluto Nash, which lost 93% because it cost $100 million and only earned $7
million. Oh, my God.
So that is, I mean, that is, that's kind of an overall coverage of this show.
Interesting stats.
Interesting stats.
And that's why you tune into How Did This Get Made?
for hardcore
stats. Just like we're the Nate Silver of bad movie podcasts.
We have predicted what every movie will make. All right, so this
That's the future. That's why we're here to announce the future of How Did This Get Made. We're shifting more into a statistical game.
Percentage
gonna,
loss ratio.
We're going to moneyball this show.
We're going to be the we're going to be the new Box Office Mojo, the new Deadline Hollywood. We'll be calling.
We're coming for you guys. We're coming for you, Nikki Fink.
All right, so this is a lot of the
people. She's not at Deadline Hollywood.
Not at, she's at NikkiFink.com.
Oh, boy, oh,
oh
boy.
Oh, my gosh.
So well, then we're fine with you, Nikki Fink.
A lot of our listeners really chipped in on this. They've pulled clips. They've made montages. And here is one of my favorite montage clips. Somebody made a mega trailer. They've cut every movie that we've ever done into one giant trailer, taking clips from every trailer from every movie.
What?
Yeah. So this is the super mega cut trailer done by Matt McGee.
Hi, kids. It's me, Ronald McDonald, and I'm on the set of my very first motion picture ever.
Once upon a time, in the year 2087, 239,000 miles from Earth, in the peaceful town of Cloverdale.
He's the best con man, a world-class arms dealer, and the world's greatest computer genius. He's the best friend a good time ever had. He's tough.
You know you have an attitude problem.
Yeah, but it's just a little one.
She's tougher.
I was born to be a vampire.
She was the girl of his dreams.
We don't have to have sex. Just give me your sperm.
Way to go, Romeo!
It was love at first sight.
There's one small problem.
Man's deepest fear has risen again.
There's sure a lot of midgets around here.
We're gonna need more holy water.
Now, three strangers will travel to the mystical realm of Outworld.
They're on the trail of a kidnapped princess. And a mystical meteorite.
It's incredible!
This just went from Mission Impossible to Mission of Freakish Sanity.
They can't stop.
You can't just wait here with sharks to rain down on.
They can't change course.
I gotta take all my ass!
And they can't.
The captain is dead.
Get off. What started out as love could end up in murder.
I know who killed me.
He was stabbed in the chest 38 times.
That's gonna swell up.
This summer.
Watch your step.
Did I blow up my car? Oh, did I fire bullets at myself?
Hold your breath.
These birds are contaminated.
Hang on for dear life.
The hockey team from hell.
Get ready.
Charlie's run away with a snowman.
For the battle.
You ladies ready to play a little ultimate frisbee?
No ropes can hold. When gymnastics and karate are fused, the combustion becomes an explosion.
I'm magnetic!
Warner Brothers is proud to present
a film with the passion of Tennessee Williams.
Where's my money, Danny?
The gun down.
Jason Statham.
You're gonna tell me exactly who's going off.
The Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Cool party.
Tommy Wiseau.
I treat you like a princess. Can you stab me in the back?
Mike Myers.
It's my time to shine!
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Who does your hair? Siegfried or Roy?
Sylvester Stallone.
The energy can falsify!
Matthew Broderick.
Hey, baby, who's your daddy?
Vanilla Ice.
Drop that zero and get with the hero.
Cindy Crawford. Patrick Swayze.
LL Cool J.
Hulk Hogan.
Justin Guarini.
Dennis Rodman.
The Spice Girls.
Sinbad.
Zeus.
And in the role of a lifetime, Nicolas Cage.
Oh, no, not the beast! Not the beast! Ah!
In the story of a man who got a second chance to be the world's coolest dad.
Open this door, Dad! Open this door!
This time, it's personal.
Anybody seen Mac?
All
right, so every episode of this show starts off with an intro line, a line that I say that kicks into the theme song.
And a lot of times we are waiting to start the show because you are crafting your line.
Oh, I sit here like a mathematician trying to put together.
Show's all about math, guys. Show's all about math.
You run a lot of numbers.
Yeah.
You're doing a lot of cost.
A lot of times we're like, Paul, we got to start the show. And you're like, I've got to crunch these numbers for this opening line.
I realized how many times in putting together together these intro lines, I said like things like, it's as if blank shit on blank.
Yes.
There's a lot of that. So I tried to diversify it here with our best intro lines. Take it away.
Best opening lines.
The Last Airbender.
It's like everything bad about Star Wars, the prequels, but none of the good stuff. And you combine that with like the acting style of iCarly, and then you mix that in with the sense of confusion that you get after blunt force trauma to the head. And that's kind of what you get when you watch Last Airbender.
Battlefield Earth.
I mean, we love crappy movies, and I don't think there is one crappier than Battlefield Earth. It's like if Star Wars farted on the Planet of the Apes, it would become this film.
No Holds Barred.
It's a story of one network TV president's desire to be the number one network in television, and a shocking indictment of the glorification of violence in televised sports. We saw the thought-provoking No Holds Barred, so you know what that means.
Roadhouse.
You know a movie's good when in the first 3 minutes a woman is being kicked in the pussy.
Yeah.
Gymkhana.
Gymkhana.
Wow.
It is like the Hunger Games meets The Room.
Howard the Duck.
It's the classic story of girl meets a duck from another planet, and they fall in love, save the world, and stop an interdimensional demon. Or as I like to call it, definitive proof that George Lucas had a raging coke habit in the 80s.
So the winner, guys, what do you think?
Gosh.
What do you think? A lot of solid
intro
lines.
This is a tough category. A lot of competition.
These are solid. These are some solid intro lines.
Yeah, very good.
Are we voting personally, or are we just picking a winner?
We could vote it around. I'll tell you what my favorite is.
Yeah, go ahead.
Mine is No Holds Barred because it did one of the switcheroos. You thought it was less direct. It talked about I like No Holds Barred. That's my favorite.
I am a big fan of If Star Wars Farted on Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, I am.
The Battlefield Earth. Also, Battlefield Earth, just kind of a
right.
real favorite, real personal fave.
I'm outvoted. Battlefield Earth is the winner.
So if you're wondering how these decisions are being made in terms of this award show, you've just seen it happen, guys. Here's what we're not. We're not bringing the results in a padlocked briefcase, handcuffed to somebody's wrist. The secret. We're showing you how the sausage is made. Battlefield Earth just won that award.
Wow, that was a good award. Wow. No acceptance speeches in this award show, though. No acceptance.
You sure, Paul? I mean, you could.
Guys, it was really.
Could.
I really was. I mean,
do you remember what you were thinking that day? What went into it?
You know, it was an early podcast, and I was nervous. Rob Hubel was here, and I just wanted to make Rob laugh, and you know what?
You had your iPhone out. You pulled up the calculator app.
And I just
and
said,
you just...
I crunched two movies.
Crunched some numbers, and this is what you came up with.
And I let it fly. You know, so thank you, America.
Congrats,
thank you, Jason,
Paul.
And June. Thank you so much. All right, so over the course of the show, we've had some terrible character names. And I thought this would be a nice chance for us to kind of read through them together.
Worst character names.
Guy Lafarge from 88 Minutes, a classic bad character name right there.
Farmer from In the Name of the King.
Didn't even name him.
That character's name was just Farmer, which was his occupation. Oh, God, that was so stupid. Okay, from the Mario Brothers movie, Mario and Luigi Mario.
Did not like that at all because
no.
I don't want His last name could have been Mario, but Mario.
That makes really very little sense. And also, I don't like that the Mario Brothers have, like, surnames.
Well, there was a lot of discussion about were they brothers.
And there's the jury is out. There's a lot of fervent people on message boards telling us that we're idiots because they clearly are brothers, even though they say they're not.
Well, but I mean, like, there's not a planet in which Bob Hoskins, R.I.P., and John Leguizamo, Johnny Legs,
are brothers.
Of course not.
So let's fucking...
Call spade a spade.
Yeah, exactly.
Guru Tugging My Puta from The Love Guru, another probably the worst name in that movie, and there were a lot of like Jock Lecoq and a lot of great ones in there. But Guru Tugging My Puta, played by the magnificent Ben Kingsley, great one there.
You did skip over one of the nominees, all of the flower names from Wicker Man.
All of them.
Wait, I don't remember that.
They all had different flower names.
All the weirdos on the island.
All the weirdos, yeah. Okay, so that's a group one.
Okay. This next nominee provoked a legendary how did this get made moment. Rudy, Ben, what's his tits, his name from
Ben
Reindeer.
Affleck.
Ben Affleck's name
Batman.
From Reindeer Games.
Yes.
Rudy.
That was the name
Rudolph.
Which you will be hearing the full revelation of that in this episode or a later episode. And finally, Finn Shepard. Finn Shepard from Sharknado 1 and Sharknado 2. That's a great bad name, though. I feel like that's a good, you know, Finn, sharks.
Yeah.
It all worked out. Guys, vote. Want to vote on this?
For me, it's Rudy. For me, it's Rudy. This is a name that is so integral to the movie and so integral to our understanding of it and such a moment in show lore.
But I do think that would make Rudy one of the best character names.
Interesting.
One of the worst character names is Guy Lafarge.
I think purely on, I'm going to agree with June. Purely on a terrible name, like someone typed that in, control, alt, save. Yeah, that is, Guy Lafarge.
Okay, Guy Lafarge is the winner. What a terrible movie that was.
Oh my gosh. Ugh. 88 Minutes is going to come up a lot. 88 Minutes actually, in doing a lot of research for the show, was one of the fan faves.
I got to tell you guys, as we're going over all this, and again, what a great night, just to recap.
What a great night.
The stars are all here.
Stars are shining bright tonight. I have to tell you, though, I don't remember any of these movies. I know you said there was 10 hours of our lives we spent watching this. Like, I can't tell you anything really.
10 days.
I don't remember anything about
10 days minutes. Of your life.
I don't remember anything about Wicker Man. Like, I have
the bees?
Completely. The bees I have a memory of, but I couldn't tell you the plot of Wicker Man right now.
I couldn't
tell you the plot of.
Let's watch it again.
Do it again, and we'll
really
do brand new
weird.
Podcasts.
What would be different?
That would be amazing if we watched. I will say this. I think we should rewatch one movie and see and do an episode about a movie and see what is different.
That's interesting.
That would be
what we're interested by. Yeah. I think that would be interesting. I would do that.
Yeah, maybe we'll pick one. Listeners, what movie should we pick to redo on How Did This Get Made?
There's been amazing guest interviews on the show. We've gotten some amazing people in, so much so that we just want to highlight some of our favorite moments from them. And here's our first batch of guest interviews.
Best celebrity guest.
From Skyline, director Liam O'Donnell explains the process of making the movie.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but it seemed like you put this whole project together fairly quickly, kind of outside the traditional studio system.
Yeah, we really just kind of did it on our own. And it's kind of like we had like a 3 to 5 page treatment and like some artwork. And people were already like gave us like we already got like investments for like $800,000. Like, go do it, because it was all going to be set in Greg's apartment. So there was really like, and it was so low budget. So I think it was one of those things where you got like such early success off of like minimal amount of figuring things all the way through. Like you guys even said, you're making fun of Faison's quote about like, yeah, they wrote in a month. Like we literally did write it in a month. There was a point where we're going to just do improv and we're like, yeah, maybe we should write something down. And then, so we wrote a draft in a month and then kind of rewrote it in another month. And then it was like already cast and ready to go. And so, yeah, I think it was just one of those situations of being so frustrated with development and how long it takes to get something done. And then being like, we have the cameras, we have this visual effects facility, we have the setting, you know, we've got talent signed up. Let's just go, go, go. And there was really no reason to go so quickly other than our own kind of like, ambition and naivete.
From Punisher Warzone, Lexi Alexander describes the casting process.
Here's another little, thing that I've never told anybody. Mm-hmm. I love Dominic, and I was glad he was in the movie, okay? But somebody came to audition. Now, here's the ticker of this whole thing. He was sent by one of the chairman of Lionsgate, okay? Now, you know, I thought, okay, well, now I guess we have to see this actor. And this actor was Freddie Prinze Jr. Okay?
Wait,
here's the thing. Okay, so he comes in and he reads for Jigsaw. And I tell you what.
He did the most
amazing audition on the planet. He was
really
fantastic. And let me tell you another thing. He knew the Punisher inside out. He really had read them since he was a little kid. And he was amazing. Now, then I go turn around and say, look, Freddie Prinze was, I got to give it to him. He did a fantastic audition. Yeah, but you're not going to cast him. You make me see him. Yeah, but you're not going to cast him.
From Superman 3, Jack O'Halloran explains how he got paid.
Did you and Christopher Reeve not get along a little bit, or?
Christopher was, you're talking about a 26-year-old guy with a 16-year-old brain.
Okay.
Who had never done anything in the film industry before. The only thing he ever did was Love of Life.
Right.
And he carried a spear in a Katharine Hepburn play. That was his claim to fame. And he was a Juilliard graduate, you know. And when he came on the set, he was 170 pounds soaking wet. So we grabbed they brought a coach in to build him up muscles and shit like that. And I said, you know, you don't want to bulk him up really big. If you want to do this right, do a George Reeves. Get him up about 190 pounds with real good cuts. And when he puts a costume on, it'll look terrific. Because he wouldn't wear a plate. He wanted to be
his body.
Christopher Reeve, you know. And he used to walk around like Superman. I mean, poor Mark McClure was such a nice young kid, you know. And he's in his room playing his guitar one day. Hey, Chris, come on in, listen to my new song. You will talk to me as Superman.
Oh, wow.
And you are Jimmy Olsen.
Oh, wow.
Said, wow, man. Poor kid got the tears, right? So,
at which point you have to say, well, I'm going to kick Superman's ass. Well,
yeah, you're none.
I'll tell you what happened. Yeah. We used to go in town. A dear friend of mine owned a restaurant called San Lorenzo on Beecham Place, Italian guy from Italy. And a great restaurant. And I used to take the whole cast in there and got everybody in the habit of eating. Because I do favors for bringing people in. So.
Yeah.
So we're in. I get a phone call one night. And Lorenzo, the owner, says to me, Jack, how well do you know Christopher Reeve? I said, I just work with him. Why? Well, he's in here talking about you and being a gangster and your father and all this stuff from New York.
Whoa.
And I said, what did you say? He said, well, he's telling all these people that, boy, what a gangster this guy is and everything else. And I said, really? And so I now go to work the next day, and I'm a little bit perturbed. And I'm waiting for him. And I said, you know, and Richard Donner said, what's the matter, Jack? And I said, oh, nothing. I just would like to have a word with Chris when he comes in. Is everything okay? I said, no problem. So he comes to work, and I said, hey, Chris, come here. I want to talk to you. And I took him into a dressing room, and I said, how well do you know me, young man? He said, well, I just, you know, what people. I said, let me tell you something. If I ever hear you mention my name outside of this studio or anywhere else without saying Mr. First, I'm going to rip your head off and piss down your throat.
All right.
And if I ever hear you talk about my family or anything from my past that you have no idea what you're talking about, you won't finish this picture.
Okay.
So he got very kind of sheepish and scared. And he slunk out of the room, and I followed him out. Once he got outside and there was a crowd, he all of a sudden got bravado. You can't talk to me that way. I said, what did you just say? How, you, who do you think you are? And I grabbed him and I picked him up off the ground by his throat, and I had just put him against the wall, and I was just about to kick
the shit
out of him, man. And Richard Donner grabbed my arm, and he said, not in the face, Jack. Not in the face. So I, you know, I dropped him on the floor and I almost wet myself laughing. You know? Yeah, here's Dick Donner shaking like a leaf. Oh my God, we're stuck for a month.
From Badass, Danny Trejo talks about the most intimidating actor he's ever worked with.
Benny Yukitis, who is five times world champ kickboxer, right? Benny the Jet, they used to call him. Benny Yukitis was John Sensei, who people don't know this, because there's people in Hollywood, everybody always asks me, who would be the toughest guy? You know what I mean? Yeah. You don't know some of the tough guys in Hollywood. You know, it's like you got to look at people's... There's people that think they're tough, but they just don't have that little thing in their eye. You know, that little thing in their eye, John Cusack has it, okay? I'm going to tell you something people got... People don't realize this. You just look at him and you're just not sure. You just think, this guy would go kill the guy that dry cleans my clothes. You know, it has a little something.
John Cusack.
John, honest to God. Yeah. And he's bad. He can fight. He can, if you ever watch
really?
Him.
Yeah.
If you ever watch Bo Benny, you keep destroying him. I mean, I've watched him kick a bag and you just hear ribs breaking. You know?
Yeah. Wow.
And then George Clooney, same thing. George Clooney's got that little laugh, but it's like, yeah, just a little off-centered, right? And then the other guy is, I always forget his name. He's kind of a Texas guy.
Billy Bob?
No. Yeah, Billy Bob's just crazy.
Does Nick Cage fall into? We talk about Nick Cage a lot on there.
Nick Cage is a good dude. Nick Cage is a good dude, but he's just. It was kind of like. He can go crazy, but
it's more manufactured.
Yeah, it's more, I'll hurt, you know, this guy. Who's that guy on the plane that beat up the bathroom? He got. Yeah, they made him turn off his
Alec
Game Boy.
Baldwin?
Oh, yeah. Like he turned off
his
Game Boy. He had been playing Game Boy, shut it off, and he wouldn't shut it off, so he went in the bathroom and beat it up. Okay, well, that guy, go beat him. But you're worried about the guy that would grab the
stewardess.
The stewardess. Yeah, I'll turn off your sedentary. You know, that's the guy you're just not sure of.
Absolutely.
You know? So beat up all the bathrooms you want. You know?
I love it. Clooney and Cusack.
No, really, I'm serious.
Yeah, I buy it.
It's like, just look, if you're ever talking to him, just look at him in the eye, and it's like you just get this little, I'm not sure about you, buddy.
I'm going to watch my back when you're around.
That's amazing.
From Crocodile Dundee 3, Matt Berry talks about Paul Hogan's script notes.
So we're saying this, and the whole thing is building towards a wedding. He's actually going to make an honest woman of Sue. That's the name of the character, of Linda's character, I think. And so he says, what about something where, you know, he says, I think the teacher's probably got the hots for me, or something like that, likes my, you know, charm. We're like, all right, fine. So we do that. He tells us basically to write a woman hitting on him.
Sure.
So we're like, okay, fine. So we do that. And we'd actually said, well, like, someone should hit on you, but let's do it at the gay bar. And you're not aware that he's hitting on you at all.
Really?
And you're
funny,
just
getting
along. He's like, no way.
Yeah.
Again, this is whatever. This is however long was the movie out? Like 15 years ago?
Sure.
I mean, this is what sounds old, like kind of old stale jokes now, was at least slightly fresh back then.
Yeah. 11 years ago, it was good. It was.
Right. So, anyway, he's like, he didn't want to do that, but he wanted the teacher to hit on him. So we're like, fine. Find the teacher. So we write that scene, you know, and then we take long silkward showers after it. But whatever. We write the scene. And then the movie comes out and we see it, and not only has the teacher hitting on him, but do you remember the rollerblader?
Yes,
yeah,
of
that's
course.
What we were just talking about.
Right, and we're just like, good God, how many women are hitting on this 50-year-old dude?
She is not only hitting on him, but like she stops short, like rollerblading on Venice Beach Boulevard there to like throw herself at him, and then have like a mini, like she has like a mini monologue to herself where she's like, I mean, what am I doing? Just talking to a cowboy on the side of the street?
Yeah.
I'm sure he's gay.
Yeah,
I'm sure
not my experience out here. It's cold, distant eyes.
Yeah.
Oh, this is too good. I finally bump into a cute cowboy. He's a little more Robert Redford's vintage than Brad Pitt's, but that's okay, because he's got a mansion in Beverly Hills, and plus he's got custody of his kid. That means he'd be a good dad to my Cindy. And this is... Oh, there's a cat tray. Nothing this good ever happens to me. I mean, you're not available. You're gay, right?
Nice of Tom. Pretty happy. Yeah?
Of course! Cute cowboy, Venice Beach. Happy to be gay. What was I thinking? Boy, she was a chatterbox.
Yeah, mate. An American woman.
She's got a nice ass.
Yeah.
If you want to ask me what's the most embarrassing scene, Like, for me, it's that.
Yeah, that's a good, that is a big one, yeah.
Well, because it's so out of place in the movie. It makes no sense. No one talks like that. It's not real at all. It's not based in any sort of thing. It's entirely about his ego.
It's that, so
that
amazing.
That scene is entirely about his ego, which is sort of emblematic of the whole movie.
So, out of that, I mean, I no one here is my favorite. They're all great. Like, I mean, Lexi Alexander is amazing because she was so honest and kind of was really in the trenches. And also, like, I didn't think that she knew exactly what she was getting into, but she was awesome. I really liked her a lot. Danny Trejo, though, also great.
I have to say I loved talking to Danny Trejo. But I agree, in terms of this show, I feel like Lexi Alexander's Punisher Warzone episode is like the most of the kind of like more director conversation or writer director conversation moments.
It's fascinating.
That to me is the winner.
But I want to give a special shout out to Jack O'Halloran.
Oh yes,
who was from Superman 3, Superman 2.
Yeah,
who that guy was awesome.
Yep.
And in many ways, so much so, and this is I know it's a tease that you'll never hear. We had to cut things out of his interview because we were afraid that if we left them in, it would maybe upset people because he was very candid.
He was very candid, and he was even more candid in the green room.
Yeah,
that I could have listened to that guy tell stories for like 10 hours. I feel like there needs to be more time given to old actors who aren't afraid to say shit anymore.
Oh yeah, does not protecting anything or anyone. We're taking a break from the award show right now to get into some ads. Today's episode of How Did This Get Made is sponsored by our friends over at Bonobos. That's right. Here's the deal. Bonobos is a men's apparel company that offers a full line of everything from like washed chinos to denim to shorts to swimwear to casual shirts, suits, dress shirts, and blazers. They got it all. It's basically your one-stop shop if you're a dude, okay? They have a free shipping policy. And let me tell you about their customer service. It's bananas. That's right. They make shopping stress-free. Bonobos is the place to go if you have a body and you like to wear clothes. This is not for the nudists out there. You guys, you don't need Bonobos. But everybody else, you need it. Especially those people who work in offices. You guys are like, oh my God, it's casual Friday, but I can't wear jeans. What should I wear? Dude, no problem. Bonobos has got something called a weekday warrior, right? It's a non-iron dress slack, right? And you can get one for every day of the week. All right, you wear those weekday warriors with one of their dress shirts, you're looking good. All of a sudden, a girl's going to be like, yo, what's up? Let's do it. Let's, like, have you kiss me downtown. And you'll be like, what? Thank you, Bonobos. Thank you for letting me give this girl oral sex. Now, here's the deal. They're offering our listeners a special deal. You use the code HOW, get 20% off your first purchase. That's a 20% discount with the offer code HOW. That's amazing. And they're going to give you free shipping to boot. Bonobos, bringing expert craftsmanship, a perfect fit, and incredible service to men's clothing. Go to bonobos.com and find your fit today. That's Bonobos, BONOBOS.com. Now, June, this is something that you often are credited by, talking about wigs.
Did the results come in for guest interview, the winner?
Oh,
I don't know.
Oh, I thought we picked Lexi.
I thought those numbers were crunched.
We picked Lexi, but I may be wrong.
Fantastic. I think Lexi is the winner.
Okay, great. Right. Lexi Alexander.
Congratulations.
You have been awarded the best guest interview on How Did This Get Made in the 10 days that we spent watching movies.
You got it all.
You provided one of the best explanations to why we did that.
I would almost argue between her and Matthew Berry, they're the only two people who actually got into how did something get made.
That's true.
That's true.
Now back to the wigs. June, big fan of wigs.
Love them.
A lot of people here watching, a lot of the fans out in the bleachers, they're watching people come in. They're looking at people wearing wigs.
Yeah, they're looking at the hairlines.
They don't know if people are wearing wigs or not. Exactly.
Yeah, they're trying to figure out where the wigs are, where the wigs aren't.
June, would you call yourself a wig specialist? Are you an expert on wigs?
I'm a wigspert.
You're a wigspert, of course. Of course, certified wigspert.
and you get incorporated. Yeah, and you get called to different places to kind of, you know, analyze if it's a weave, if it's a full wig, if it's a tube.
Extensions.
Right. If it's human hair, if it's horse hair, all of that.
What's the difference between human and horse hair?
Well, human hair comes from humans, and horse hair, of course, from what I've scene comes from horses.
And that's why they call her a Wigspur.
Now, what about, like, is there, like, centaur hair that is from a half-human, half-horse?
That's a great question. I have never seen, in the years that I've been a Wigspur, an actual centaur wig.
Yeah, I haven't either.
But, you know, who knows?
They're out there.
Who knows? The legend is they're out there.
Would you consider yourself someone who... Do you like wearing wigs when you have to wear one for a job?
Oh, I only wear wigs.
Interesting.
Every picture that you've seen of June is in a wig.
What's interesting is June, and I hope I'm not revealing too much to the listeners at home, June is completely bald.
Yes.
And Paul has a full head of hair.
Yep.
But and both of them alter their appearances.
We've made a deal with the devil. Yeah.
Alter their appearances. It's a lot like the movie Lady Hawk with Rutger Hauer and Michelle Pfeiffer.
With wigs.
Where their love is cursed by a witch or a gypsy so that right. she is a hawk during the day and he is a wolf during the night. And so they cannot be together.
Man, I really like Lady Hawk. I do feel that movie does not hold up.
It really doesn't hold up. It is. The soundtrack is all like Moog synthesizer craziness, and it's set in like the Middle Ages. Doesn't make sense.
I just loved it because Matthew Broderick was in it. And I was like, I gotta watch more Matthew Broderick.
And then I fell in love with Michelle Pfeiffer. Oh, I was like, beautiful. Who is this beautiful, beautiful woman?
Beautiful woman who's a hawk. So here is a supercut of all of us talking about our favorite thing, wigs. Brought to you by Natalie Franz.
Welcome back to Wig Talk with June Diane Raphael.
This
without
is a
doubt.
Wiggy movie.
Well, Nicolas Cage in this movie, his wig is wearing a wig in this movie.
Oh my God.
Like, I don't even know what's going on with
him. Glasses are wearing glasses and wigs. Nicole Kidman's wearing a wig too.
Yes.
Is she?
Without a doubt.
This is a wiggy movie.
Well, also that wig needs an Emmy.
That
final wig is amazing.
It's incredible. Final wig is incredible.
By the way, that wig is doing more acting than she does the entire movie.
Yeah, she's 10,000
years
old.
Great.
What?
Oh, she was looking great.
Her wig was great. You know what I mean? Like, she was great wig work.
Was it
no
a wig?
Way that she is 10,000 years old.
They told Christina Aguilera that she could wear a wig when she was wearing a wig the whole movie.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It was a real wiggy movie.
Yeah, that movie should literally be called Wigs, in my mind, because everybody... Kristen Bell is wearing a wig, right?
Yep.
I think so, yeah.
Cher is wearing a face wig and a body wig and a hair wig. And Aguilera is wearing that awful wig throughout
like
the movie.
Like a yellow wig.
Yeah.
I'd like to talk about... I know we touched on the final wig, which was the best wig.
The best wig of them all.
It was wonderful.
The best look of them all.
That web. It was just a web.
It was unbelievable. But I thought the rest of the wigs in the movie were the wiggiest
God
looking wigs.
Awful.
His wigs,
wigs on
are
wigs
terrible.
On wigs.
Yeah.
I thought he was going bald the entire time, and it was like he was wearing a wig. But I was like, oh no, I think that's just him wearing like an actual wig.
And I'm sure it's out there and it exists, but this is a stellar entry in the crazy Nick Cage hair canon.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, his hair, it's long and blonde, but it starts in the middle of his skull. His forehead is like 8 solid inches back. It is the craziest wig. Oh, there needs to be an examination of all his different hairs.
Do you think any part of your fixation with him has to do with his unusual hairline?
It's
because I think he has one of the more unusual hairlines in moviedom. Like, it's kind of a Frankenstein.
Well, that was a wig, though.
Yeah, but like any movie you've ever... No, that's his natural...
But that's somebody's job to make a wig look good. I mean, you can't just chalk it up.
The look on June's face for the line, that was... Was a wig though. Was
come on,
priceless.
That was a wig though.
Sweetheart, that was a wig.
His whatever's going on under the wig is being replicated by
the wig. I agree.
I mean, I don't really know what's going on with his hair, but I will say I have seen the Highlander series.
Yes.
It's as confusing.
Al Pacino in this movie isn't tan, he's mahogany. Like, he's an odd color.
His wig is out of control.
Is that a wig?
Oh, right? Yes, that's
a
wig.
It's a pompadour that is lost.
It's
like Bruno Mars's pompadour got a pompadour.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
It's as if he's practicing in this movie for his film.
Phil Spector role.
It is huge. It does add inches.
Like, it's a different, it's different hair and a different color.
Well, it's a different wig.
Different wig.
Right.
It's a different wig.
He's got old man teeth. Yeah. And he's got this
his
wig.
His hair changes in the middle of it.
He's got different wigs. Those are wigs. Those are all crazy
All of
wigs.
His wigs get, he has like really like close cropped hair for the beginning of the movie. And then it's like wild Pacino hair.
He gave himself a hair consultation.
She's not good. But her wig is okay.
You shouldn't be doing robots and wigs.
I will say it could be worth a breeze for some fun with wigs. The hair in general. We just talked about Burt Reynolds, but throughout, it's
the wigs
really
are pretty
amazing.
I got one last thing. I can't believe we did not discuss wigs, because it's clearly set up in the photo shoot that she has no hair. And so that whole red hair that she's got, like, there's no way she could have that short blonde haircut with red hair crammed under it. So the whole movie, she's wearing a wig, and it gets wet, and she sleeps in it, and she gets in fights and, you know, flies through the air.
Well, she's got that jaunty cap as well. She's got a jaunty cap for half of the movie.
Yeah, newsy cap. Yeah. But I thought, that's funny you say that, because I thought that she and Bobo Stalker Channing had the same hairdo. So I wonder if they were just all, like,
maybe it's a
wig
killing.
But the Cleopatra wig, which was like a Rick James wig, like it was just
crazy.
Awful. The and the fact that there was these awful wigs on, like no physical transformation whatsoever. So it just.
I think that his hairline is. I don't think it may be a wig. I think it is kind of.
Guys, it's definitely a wig.
Listen, that could be a wig or not. I mean, but like.
You think you could grow that length?
Yeah,
and
I think he grew that
out.
No, not his thickness.
And curling. He wears a wig sometimes. Sometimes his head is shaved completely.
Yeah, that was
bald.
Weird.
Wait, he wears a wig sometimes?
Yeah, he wore a wig. Whenever he walked in, he wore that wig.
Yeah, there's a scene where he's wearing a wig.
Oh, yeah.
No!
He
never wears a wig.
Oh, he comes in, she goes, take that wig off. And he's like, all right.
What?
And he takes
what?
Off his wig.
If you're a working Hollywood wig artist and have worked with Nicolas Cage, Christopher Lambert, or
John Travolta,
but
please
I do see
call
what
us.
You're saying, which is that the wig is following and mimicking a hairline that's already there.
It's just pretty shocking.
Right.
It's pretty straight across in
stuff.
A way that hair, you know, doesn't ever grow.
I gotta say, I'm shouting out the supercuts.
Yeah, the supercuts.
Sorry, the place that cuts my hair. It's on Fairfax. They're great.
Sorry, bro.
I'm in and out in like 10 minutes.
You should go to Sport Clips, man.
Oh, Sport Clips?
Yeah, Sport Clips.
Get the VIP treatment. Find your Y chromosome, bro.
Get a beer and get a cut. Watch sports on 12 screens.
We have to be careful.
Cuts.
They will be sponsors within a matter of months.
Very rarely, and I think we should do this more, we have a chance to kind of act out scenes from movies.
Yes.
And
you, some people may not know, we are professional actors.
Oh, yeah. We get paid to act. So when we bring it here, we're giving you a treat. Most people have to
for
pay
free.
Us a lot of money. Yeah.
We're
doing this for free.
We do this for free. You guys get in your inbox Hollywood actors acting out Hollywood screenplays.
Yep. And you're getting great people. And in this next category, you're going to hear some great people like Casey Wilson, Natasha Leggero, in addition to us reading some great stuff. So here is the category of acting out.
Acting out. The best performance.
From Sharknado, June reads Nova's monologue.
So he flies as close as possible to the Sharknado, and they start through. Okay, but now, June, do you want to do your performance? Because this is where this scene happens.
I'd love to if it's time.
Okay,
yeah,
so,
it's definitely
so they don't know each other.
Is this Ian Ziering's real son, by the way? I think I read that.
Oh, that would
really?
Be amazing.
I'm going to take a look right now.
So they don't know each other. They're just getting to know each other. And she's basically like, they're comparing scars right beforehand. They're comparing scars. She has a scarred up leg.
She doesn't want to talk about that
and
scarred
up
leg.
And we've seen that earlier.
Yep, and he's got a scarred up chest or something from something, and he tells her his story of how he got a scar, and then she says this.
I was raised by my okay. She's got like an East Coast accent.
You're
right?
Gonna do the accent. Okay. Too.
I'm gonna try, babe.
I love it.
Do you need to warm up time? Do you want me to talk to you in a Boston accent?
No, it's like it was like more like New York. I was raised by my grandparents. When I was 7, my grandpa took me fishing on one of those day charter deals with his friends.
That was a good one.
We wound up hitting into a reef and the boat went down. My grandfather took me and put me inside this little life raft for safety. Everyone else was just kind of swimming around trying to stay up, and suddenly all these sharks just started swarming. And then they tried to protect me, but by morning...
This is good. Stay with it. Stay with it.
By morning, they were all gone.
Meaning the people, not the sharks.
was confused about that. So I... This is the craziest line. So I floated out there for... So I floated out there for 2 days until those Coast Guard helicopters finally spotted me. I thought I was safe, but suddenly this shark just leapt up and bit my leg. 6 people went into the water and 1 little girl came out. The sharks took the rest. They took my grandfather. That's why I really hate sharks.
From The Tourist, Natasha Leggero and Paul Scheer reenact a scene.
The scene is amazing. If you guys remember it, do it. I can only...
Okay.
I remember a little bit of Johnny Depp's lines in that.
So you have to... Well...
He goes like...
Go ahead, Natasha.
Do you remember Angelina Jolie's part?
Yes.
All right. All right, well, you do whatever you remember. I can fill it in if you don't.
I am... You are... What does she say? He's down to earth?
He goes like this. He goes, yeah, the greatest compliment people give in my country is you are down to earth. And that's the highest compliment. And then...
Oh, and then he tells her she's the least down to earth.
Yes. Yes. And he goes, he sees her on the balcony. He's like, you are the least down to earth person I've ever met.
Go to bed, Frank. Is that what she says?
Yeah. And then she kisses him. Scene. And she kisses him really hard on the lips.
From Old Dogs, Casey Wilson and Paul Scheer reenact the scene when John Travolta finds out about his dead dog.
They come back because they screw up their meeting in Japan, and John Travolta comes home to get his dog. Now, he's left it at some sort of a day camp.
I have a great...
Now, the day camp, this is something I'm obsessed with. I don't know why, but the day camp is like, the front of the day camp is like, oh, place where you buy doggy treats and things like that. And so he pops open the door to like the storefront and is like, hey, Bucci, hey, Bucci, Bucci, who is my Bucci? And like...
It's a really good Travolta.
Can I say what the woman says to him?
Yes, please.
I'm sorry, in a Long Island accent with the flattest
actress.
Wait a
second. Will you guys just... Can we back up a second?
Yes.
Will you guys
just do
this scene?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. I'm just going to say, I'm working behind the desk. I've been watching John Travolta's dog at a pet
and
hotel.
And action.
Hey, Bucci, 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 where's my Bucci?
We tried to call.
Does he say, like, what happened?
We tried to call. That's it!
The dog is dead! The dog is dead! Oh, my God.
Oh, guys. Old dogs die.
Old dogs.
A scene from the movie 88 Minutes.
This is a segment called... Say what? And basically, we're just going to just take a piece of dialogue. If you guys remember this, you know, Pete, you should actually do it because you actually do a good Al Pacino. You read the Jack parts.
Just take a second to read it over.
And this is one of my... This is
I'll be reading Shelley.
All right, here we go.
Shelley, there's been a break in my place. In my most secure area. Did you ever give anyone clearance to go into my secure files?
Jack, what are you saying?
Did you ever let an unauthorized person into...
I can't read it! This is a real line!
Did you ever let an unauthorized person into my secure files area?
That's a line that American treasure Al Pacino memorized and delivered multiple takes.
Or there was a better line that he forgot and just made that one up.
Give me the end of that piece.
Did you ever let an unauthorized person into my secure files area?
Wait, no, you missed one of the words.
I did? I got to get it right. Did you ever let an unauthorized person into my secure files area?
No. Not ever. To anyone. Ever.
That's a real lie. Al
heard
that.
These things happen.
That's
like the most dirty, my most secret, secure area.
My secure files area?
That woman.
Where did the man touch you? Where did the man touch you? In my most secure files area.
Can I? I know you're an escort, but can I come in your most secure files area?
Okay, guys. Acting out a lot of great,
this is hard.
A lot of
this
great
is a
scenes
tough
here.
Category. It's a tough one. This is a real tough category.
Yeah, this is a big one. Whew. Wow.
I'm
going to go online and go say June reading the Sharknado monologue.
I think that's it.
that's it for me as well.
Yeah.
I both because it's amazing, but also because I remember when it happened being moved by it.
Wow. You really brought the heat.
Thanks, you guys.
Yeah, you did a great job with that. Yeah. Congratulations, June. Would you like to make an acceptance speech? Yeah.
No, I know a lot of people.
This is June Diane Raphael's first win.
but I really nomination. Appreciate it. You know, the She's work for me totally is just bald. About understanding.
But wears a wig most of the time.
Being a human more than anything else. And if I can just get closer to that every day and share my experience. I think they're wrapping me up. Okay, I just want to say thank you so much. And
what's the playoff music?
I think it's Jurassic Park. The playoff music is always Jurassic Park.
It's just the theme to Jurassic Park.
Jason, I'm going to do a thing with you right now where I'm going to give you the movie and you are going to tell us what you have said numerous times. This is a love story between blank.
A blank and a blank.
Yes. Yeah, so I'm going to read you the movie and June and I will read you the movies and you tell us what it's a love story between. All right.
Okay. Yes.
All right. So when we talked about Over the Top, you said
this is a movie that is literally a love story between a man and a child.
You want to ask me that?
When we were talking about Congo, you said...
Ah, yes. I said, this movie is a love story between a man and a gorilla.
And finally...
A female gorilla in that story, yes.
Amy, the amazing...
Amy.
And finally, in Winter's Tale, you described Winter's Tale as...
Yeah, the movie starring Colin Farrell.
Yes.
This is a love story between a man and a horse. A horse that may... And I didn't say this, but a horse that may or may not be God.
No, yeah, we do not know.
I'm not clear the level of deity that the horse is.
I would say that of all the movies that we have not... Like, sometimes one of us will not have to be here because of scheduling issues and stuff. June, that was the movie that I most... missed. I mean, that in Twilight,
yeah.
People really were upset about that you missing, but Winter's Tale, I almost want to make you watch that just casually.
Yep. Just a casual watching of Winter's Tale, so you lose your mind.
No winners in that category. That's just kind of a fun walk down memory lane.
I'll take it. I'll take it.
Now, obviously, sex comes up a lot on this show, and I think that... you know, I think it can all be summed up by Rob Hubel's quote after he saw Battlefield Earth.
Let me ask the group this. I don't know if you guys normally talk about this on the podcast, but how difficult was it for you guys to masturbate to this? To masturbate to this? To masturbate to this?
So yes, Rob talked about masturbating. When do we masturbate? Now, June and I often don't get into a lot of the sexual things on the show. Jason,
you don't?
Well, you know, I would say if somebody described this show to us and described it as Jason, you are the id, and June, you are the ego, and I am the superego. And so I would say that you kind of get into more of the sex and violence of the show.
That's probably true.
And this next category is kind of highlighting all the weird things that you have been turned on by throughout this podcast.
Cool, cool, cool.
All right. So.
All right. Well, I'm going to listen to these and jerk off. You fucking weirdos.
Weirdest thing Jason's turned on by.
Watching anyone eat hot dogs,
not fun.
Yeah. Wrong.
Yeah.
I could come up with a list of 10 people that I would fucking pay upwards of $1,000 to watch eat a hot dog. Hillary Clinton is on that list. The minute that happened, I was like, oh, she's his daughter. Then they had the sex scene, and I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
This is going to be really weird when they reveal that she's his daughter.
But it was just mind sex, so you could kind of play it off.
I was kind of okay with it. But then he kisses her, and I was like, barf.
Yeah.
But then, barf out of my wiener, I came. Super into incest, guys. Super into incest.
Like John Candy
like
as
John Candy. Peep. And by the way, they try to merge a scene.
Which
to
isn't
show
as sexy as you would think.
No.
Given the phrase,
no.
John Candy as Little Bo Peep. Like, you automatically are like, ooh, that sounds super erotic.
Beautiful.
It's not.
This was the part I got really turned on at, was when they had pregnant women all in one place and were kind of probing them and stuff. That was good.
That was pretty sexy.
Big,
pretty good.
Big 4 months gangbang.
Yeah.
This movie is structured like a romantic comedy between a man and a child. This is a straight up pedophile incestuous love story with a romantic montage where they sleep in the car together and then do workouts and then have the kid at the end has to like run through the airport and get to his dad so he can be like, I love you, dad. And the dad, and they're always going like, pump it up, pump it up and over, up and over. Everything is like the most sexual movie we've ever. I'm like,
well, you didn't even talk about the. This is an amazing category. Everything here really makes me laugh.
I forgot about John Candy as Little Bo Peep. I forgot about a lot of these.
Wait, I'm sorry. What's father-daughter fooling around? Then he kisses her, and I was like, barf, but by barf, I mean barf out of my wiener, I came. What's that?
What movie is that?
What is that?
I forget. I don't know.
It's just written on the page, but I don't know what it was.
I forget. Well, the audience,
the audience is like freaking out right now. They're like, how do you not know this?
I'm going to say, to me, the image that sticks out.
Wait,
yes.
I bet it's Demolition Man. What's future?
Yes, that's a Demolition
Judge
Man.
Judge Dredd.
Oh.
Judge Dredd.
No,
it's Demolition Man because it's Sandra Bullock and.
Is that Demolition Man or Judge Dredd?
Judge Dredd is the other one.
Sorry. Yes.
Yes.
I bet it's that. Father daughter fooling around. That was a love story between a man and his daughter.
It was.
That's correct.
To me, I'm going to say Hillary Clinton eating a hot dog is the most visual thing. I'm also fascinated because you are legitimately serious that you were turned on by Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. I would watch that. I would, especially if I got to cook the hot dog. If it wasn't like, I don't want it to be like a Nathan's that she and I just go and buy together and then I watch her eat it in like the store. I want her to like sit in my backyard and eat a hot dog with me.
Now, June, based on that response, do you have a vote? Because we need to make a judgment.
This is a really tough category.
I agree.
I know there were a lot of different – EW, I think, had been rooting for John Candy as Little Bo Peep.
Yep.
I think for me it's father-daughter fooling around from Demolition Man. I think that's the weirdest thing.
And finish it out, you know – he kisses her, and I was like.
Then he kisses her, and I was like, "Barf!" But barf. Then he kisses her, and I was like, "Barf!" But by barf, I mean barf out of my wiener. I came.
You should start saying.
It's so interesting to see on paper, like with punctuation, something that I just said.
Now you are not the only person who gets turned on by things. Chelsea Peretti. When we talked about the movie Sucker Punch, really had a thing for Oscar Isaac. And as we now see, Oscar Isaac has kind of risen to a lot of prominence.
Oh, my God.
And that sexual fascination has really paid off. So listen to Chelsea talk about Oscar Isaac. This is an honorable mention.
His performance is bonkers.
His endgame. His endgame was.
His mustache is insane.
It was a great job.
Are you into this guy? What's the story? I feel like you're into this guy.
I think he did a great job.
Do you know him?
No.
Are you dating this guy?
Nope. I loved it when he was humming, walking around, going, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. He was really chewing the scenery.
He was good, man.
But I'm sorry.
Stop that.
I thought
he had a crazy, creepy mustache.
Really?
He had a pedophile mustache.
That's your guy. Pedophile mustache, rapey,
wearing like ugly dinner jackets.
He delivered a solid performance. He really did. And no one can deny that,
well,
right?
I feel like if we went to your house right now, your computer's history is just all that guy.
Seriously, you guys, honestly, if you had to vote on him. Like, he was one of the best performances in the movie.
By the way, we've already seen a major character sacrifice herself.
Yeah,
it's like
minutes before
Rocket for a Sweet Pea.
What are you
when
talking
Rocket,
about?
You only watched.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Why do I feel like your baby doll wasn't on the screen?
You were checking your phone.
Baby
doll. You were Googling that guy.
When baby doll or blue was not on the
baby
screen.
Doll, if it had just, honestly, seriously, if it had just been Blue and Baby Doll and he just was repeatedly molesting her, I would have been in heaven.
You just would have been like jerking at the whole movie.
To the entire film.
Oh my gosh. I'm looking at what this guy did here.
What else? He was in Che Guevara. I IMDb'd him, I'll be honest.
Oscar Isaac, guess what year he was born? Want to know what year Oscar Isaac was born?
82.
1980.
Whoa. Weird that we both said that.
Congrats, Chelsea.
We want to reward her because she was so on the ball with picking Oscar Isaac. So Chelsea will give a little acceptance speech here.
I accept this award with a great feeling of lightness and happiness and knowing that I was right and I had the correct take on this gifted and talented actor, Mr. Blue, or whatever he was called in that movie. I forget the name of it. But what an honor, and may his career continue to flourish, his tan and his dark hair and intensity that he approaches his craft with in a time in which many actors don't. You know, I applaud him. I applauded him then. I applaud him now. And it feels great to be right.
There's been
it
a lot.
It was nice of Chelsea to come by, by the way.
And
lovely
exactly.
for Chelsea.
She looked beautiful.
She looked
tonight.
Great.
What a
wow.
lovely outfit.
In a Marc Jacobs gown.
And, yep. you know,
tuxedo gown.
And you can catch her all the time on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. She's so great. New stand-up special on Netflix. We love Chelsea. Chelsea should come back. She's a person that people have asked to come back a lot.
But she keeps saying no.
Yeah, she won't do it.
She won't do it. She says she's had enough.
She's had her own podcast. She's moved on.
Yep.
Now. There's been a lot of theories on this show, theories that, June, you have held very true. Things that we never would have predicted, things that we never would have thought of, things that sometimes don't even make sense. So this is a category dedicated to you, June, about your next level bonkers theories. Again, picked by the fans.
Best next level bonkers theory.
How did the candle get blown out from After Earth?
When we cut back to him, he's having these flashbacks of his daughter, his 19-year-old daughter. And as he's like coming in and out of them, he keeps on saying, no, no, no.
Oh, yeah.
Are we supposed to understand? Well, I guess we should talk about the moment where he, during a flashback, he's up in battle and she's at home celebrating a birthday. And she wants him to blow out the candles.
Oh, by, yeah,
on
by the way,
they're like eye chatting.
That's Zoe Kravitz.
They're FaceTiming.
Zoe Kravitz.
Zoe Kravitz. FaceTiming. So she says, Dad, blow out the candles through FaceTime. And he says, no, I can't do it.
He says, no, you know that won't work.
You know that won't work.
She's 19 years old.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, like, this is a woman.
Like, yeah. This is something
beyond humoring age.
This is something like I do with my nieces who are six, like who don't quite wrap their minds around the fact that like we can't actually connect over iChat.
Yeah,
you know.
Okay, but then the mother comes into frame and says, "Come on, blow out the candles," and they're all laughing. Blow out the candles, Dad. Blow out the candles, and then he does.
Right.
And the candles do get blown out.
Because
Wait, hang on.
Wait,
June, what do you think happened?
Oh, wait a second. I want to see what you think.
Oh, yeah. No.
June, what do you think?
Did you really not catch
that? Wait. Tell us your best guess of what happened.
I'll tell you what I thought happened.
No wrong answers. There's no wrong answers.
All right. I'm going to be totally honest. I'm going to be fearless. I'm going to take a knee and just be totally honest with what happened.
That's fearless.
I thought that Will Smith had totally, like, had gotten to a place where he had such mind control and power in his mind.
Continue.
Somehow.
Yeah.
To the screen.
What happened was, after the candles were blown out,
oh my God.
A second later, his son
came into frame. He blew out.
His son was behind the camera. His son was behind the camera. That was the joke. And then he came around.
I didn't get it.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Oh
I'm telling you, I didn't see that.
Oh
I promise
my God.
You, I did not see that the son came in from behind.
No.
All I saw was that the son appeared.
Yeah. Because he'd been off camera blowing out the candles.
Now
is unclear, is what you just said?
to one out of four moviegoers, it was unclear.
How was the robot fueled in Judge Dredd? Well, Gene, I didn't want to cut you off, but Gene, you said that you want to talk about where Rob Schneider was hiding, because this is pretty great.
Well, before he goes into the apartment, I'm not sure, Rob Schneider sees this little robot walk by.
Eat recycled food. It's great for the environment, good for you.
Okay for you.
Yeah.
Coors.
I was just going to say, but is that the robot is not sponsored by anybody, right?
Oh, just Coors Light.
No, Coors, regular.
Coors regular. Yeah, Coors.
It's like a Coors sign, like, circling on top of the robot.
But does recycled food mean that it was eaten, thrown up, and
pooped?
Then... Yeah, like, what does that mean? Because ultimately, during this shootout, we find out later on that Rob Schneider somehow hid himself inside the robot.
and Stallone
seems to be covered in spaghetti.
He's covered in spaghetti, and he's eating that spaghetti. So that I don't understand what that spaghetti was. I don't understand how he got covered in it.
Is it trash? It seems like it's trash. No, I'm guessing it's trash.
Oh, okay.
Like
but
to
it
me,
looks it's like food. It looked like spaghetti.
He was eating
spaghetti.
No. Like thrown away food.
Oh.
I was guessing that it was recycled. You know, it is. Like, if I saw a half-eaten hamburger in the garbage and I picked it out, I could say I'm recycling because I'm giving this hamburger a second life, right? It doesn't need to be processed to be recycled, right?
Right.
I mean, I love that this is what we're trying to figure out.
Okay.
But that was my guess, is that this was like basically the equivalent of a garbage can.
Yeah, he was.
I don't know. I really don't know that.
Well, because here's the thing. Now I'm almost thinking that, you know, he has all this food like sort of in his mouth and all these spaghetti strands all around him. Now what I'm thinking is because later on there's such a big deal out of him being able to, of Rob Schneider being able to rewire a thing, that he was actually moving that robot with those spaghetti strands.
Okay.
Like those were the innards.
Wait a minute.
You are overthinking
Let her figure this out. June, wait a second.
Those were sort of the inner workings of that machine. And so he wasn't sitting there eating. He was actually trying to work that robot so that it would
work. So the robot is run on the food that it itself.
That's correct.
Okay.
It's a self-sustaining.
So this robot is powered by spaghetti.
Yes.
And Rob Schneider is manipulating the spaghetti. Yeah.
What we know about Rob Schneider, and June, you have now posited one of the most insane theories in all of How Did This Get Made history. But because what we know about Rob Schneider is that he's a hacker.
Yes.
We are told he's a hacker. That's why he was in prison. That's why he can rewire a robot later. Spoiler alert. But you're saying that he's able to hack the food robot by using the spaghetti within it. Okay.
That's correct.
Do we think, I don't want to rain on your parade, June, but do you think maybe he's like moving the spaghetti to get to the wires? Maybe there's real wires in there,
too. From what I remember,
he didn't even need to hack it. He didn't even need to hack it. He was hiding. He was just hiding out in an R2-D2.
So you think, though, because it's not in line with his character, that he would just be sitting there while all this is going on and just eating the spaghetti.
It's not in line with his character? On what planet does like character motivation fit any of this movie?
Seem like him.
No, this is... No, to me, it was he hid in the robot because the robot was going to keep going away.
Yes.
He saw it as a way out. It's basically the equivalent of jumping in a garbage chute.
And so he was also... Right. He happened to be hungry as well and then just started eating
I don't remember him eating the spaghetti.
He did say he was eating it. He had it in his mouth.
I remember it.
We spent 5 full minutes of this 35-minute show talking about the most irrelevant scene.
It's not irrelevant because
this scene is the Rosetta Stone for the movie.
It's not irrelevant because Judge Dredd judges him, finds him guilty, and sends him to prison. When we lose Rob Schneider for a bit, you don't think he's going to come back. Oh, we'll see. He'll come back around. So in the meantime...
And why does he send him to prison?
Because he was hacking the pasta robot.
Okay.
Diagnosing the mother in Over the Top.
Also, I think she might have also been insane. Because there's one shot of her where she's sitting in her hospital room and she's like sitting in a very nice upholstered chair.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
She's very wealthy.
And she's on the phone and the son's asking her questions and she says... I'm sorry, I can't talk right now. I have to go. To where?
Oh, June, the answer is heaven.
She had to go die.
The answer is heaven. She's going to heaven.
I think that she was getting cancer injected into her.
Yeah.
She's like, I need to die.
She's like, I gotta get out of this world. My husband left me. My dad is Robert Loggia. Things are bleak.
Figuring out the title of Dungeon Siege.
What would you say the words dungeon siege mean?
Right, because what? Did I miss a dungeon?
Well,
what does that mean?
I would assume it would mean like a battle in which
you are fighting over a dungeon.
Well, oh, no, I think it's a jailbreak.
That's what I think. I think it's a jailbreak.
Classic Thin Lizzy.
And I don't want to...
Tonight there's going to be a dungeon siege.
I don't want to fast forward to the end.
No,
but
certainly.
So the end of the movie there, I guess that was what the dungeon siege is, when all the prisoners escaped.
Wait, that's the only thing. Confusion over a Street Fighter from Street Fighter.
Quick question, and I may be revealing too much about myself, but what exactly, and I know you, I think you answered it a couple minutes ago, but what exactly is a Street Fighter?
Okay, so like there's a... It's like underground. It's like underground fighting.
What exactly is a Street Fighter?
Like, did you ever see Bloodsport? That's like a legitimate sort of underground fighter. Van Damme was also in that.
It's like Fight Club, but like it's like Fight Club.
It's
right?
An underground fighting.
It's like
ring.
Yeah. It's like dog fighting with humans.
So when they're in the cage, that is street fighting. When they're in the cage,
yeah, I mean, I guess
it could be on the street
cage fighting, but
I mean, yeah, street fighting is like sort of like what. Remember when we saw the Mike Tyson show? He said that he would do street fighting. Like he would go, he would beat up like 30-year-old men in the street. Like and people would get paid money.
Great. So was the woman, the Asian woman,
Chun-Li.
Now is she a street fighter? I guess I just want to get a real handle.
In the video game, they're all Street Fighters.
Right. But well, the video game, you would argue there's no other plot besides the fact that you pick a character and then you fight with them. And then
except that there is an expanded universe. I mean, there are cartoons of this and stuff that's come out over the years. So I actually looked up Shadaloo, and it's not a country. In the game, it's Bison's organization.
Shadaloo.
So I don't know why they called it the country Shadaloo.
So this is just more of a that's his evil. Yeah.
So basically, what it is, I mean, the game is a fighting game, and they just populate it with all of these characters who have different fighting styles. You know, so there's Mortal Kombat, like that too. There's a boxer. There's kung fu guys. There's a ninja.
Like Chun Li used to do a cool thing with her leg.
I guess here's my problem.
Yeah, she had a speed kick.
Yeah.
John, here's my problem with it, though. Those types of fighting, though, would they normally be found on the street? No, see, this is what I'm not
understanding. Well, in the game, most of the locations are outdoors. Some of them are streets.
Yeah. June's belief that ducks evolved into humans.
Later on, we learn that, like, ducks are in the process of evolving to humans, right?
No, not evolved. They've already evolved.
No, they're evolved. Oh, wait a second. Hang on.
Wait, you think that ducks are going to become human beings?
Hey, are you...
Back.
The ducks?
No. No.
Do you think that this is a stop in the evolution that is eventually going to lead towards humans?
Well, like, yeah, it goes from duck to gorilla to us.
Well, didn't Tim Robbins say that we came from apes?
Right, and they came from ducks.
But they're advanced ducks.
No, right, but eventually they'll look like us?
No!
No, they're on their own planet, and there's no humans on that planet.
Wait.
When?
How long do you think until that turns into us?
I don't know.
Because they already have everything.
Ducks, I know that.
But they are at the same evolutionary step that we are.
Right? They're just ducks. Chris was saying, they have evolved. Like, we have evolved. They are just human ducks now.
So evolution. Oh my God. So we're off to, immediately down the rabbit hole of insanity. I love this.
Well, that's the thing is that there's another planet that could be advanced ducks. Get
right.
it?
Right.
Well, but it's another planet.
But here's where I'm confused. Yes. But fine, but when I look at her, I see human breasts.
No, you don't. You don't. I assure you, you don't. You see duck breasts. Then you see some sweet, sweet duck titties.
I guess what they're hypothesizing is as they became upright, their boobs came in?
I don't know that. You are right. The human boobs are tricky.
There is, and later on they.
Well, Tim Robbins says like when the evolutionary chart is basically from duck to upright duck with arms, not wings. You know, like Cro-Magnon duck, blah blah blah. They have all the evolutionary steps.
My question is, when will they be us?
I gotta say, I'm looking through the nominees for this category, and
yeah, what do you think?
The only one I think was like off the mark, and just I didn't understand what was happening was the After Earth FaceTime Candle Theory.
Wait,
so
excuse
I
me?
Do understand that that one was like that came across
Spaghetti Robot.
Yeah, Spaghetti Robot.
You
is...
thought the robot was activated by spaghetti?
I stand behind that. I'll go back. Go to the tapes.
You know, I will go to the tapes.
Go to the tapes,
and it's
please.
A trash. It's oh my god.
It's a trash robot that just had spaghetti in it. No, it is not. But I think to me, the one that takes it away. And,
can I just say one more thing?
Yes.
About Spaghetti Robot. It looked as though we can all head back to the
and
tapes.
Film and film is a visual medium.
Yeah. Yes, it looked as though we were seeing the innards of that robot, and the innards were spaghetti.
Nope, you're seeing was the innards of a trash robot filled with trash.
Right, but the trash, the spaghetti was operating.
No, it wasn't. I promise you, it was not operating anything. The robot had absolutely nothing to do with the spaghetti than disposing of it someplace.
All of the other nominees, they're completely sound. The only one that I...
Ducks evolve into human beings in Howard the Duck? Do you want to talk about that one?
Yeah, we can go back to the tapes so we can watch it.
We've gone back to the tape. This is not a solid theory. But I'm going to say the one...
Why did the ducks have breasts?
For sex appeal?
Yeah, they needed to have boobies.
Because you got to get some of them titties in that movie and make people watch.
By the way, a lot of people have shouted out to us that we were excited when we saw the end credit teaser for Guardians of the Galaxy. If you have not watched Guardians, cover your ears right now. But yes, Howard the Duck makes an appearance in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Howard the Duck, the first Marvel movie.
Yes.
Was Howard the Duck.
And he made an appearance. And June, you were, what did you think when you saw Howard the Duck there? Did you feel like he evolved from a human?
Well, again, we can all have laughs about this. We can all have a good time with all of it. But truly, like when if we want to watch it again together, I will point out like beat by beat why I thought that and
if we're picking what your most bizarre theory is, I'm picking I'm picking Spaghetti Robot.
You are.
Yeah, I think it has to be. That's the most ridiculous one.
FaceTime is... I feel like you have to give really... I mean, what exactly is a Street Fighter is perhaps...
Yes.
One of the most...
Classic
moments, but it's not really a theory.
Exactly.
It's not really a theory.
It's more of a... Yeah,
so that's... But, and so for me... After Earth FaceTime Candle Theory is like a
I would agree with
next
that. That
level
was a misunderstanding.
Crazy
that is,
situation.
That was a genuine misunderstanding, and I take that on.
So you were voting for that one, too.
I take that on, yes.
All right, guys. The FaceTime Candle is another winner. June picking up two awards here tonight.
June cleaning up in the awards.
It's a great night. I will say it's a great night.
Now, this was sent to me secretly. I can't really tell you where I got this from. Who sent it to me, but I've been waiting to read this for a long time, and we talked about Street Fighter, and all I can tell you is this, that someone who works in the entertainment business in a very high-up position, after listening to our podcast, was like, oh, the company I work for produced Street Fighter. I'd like to pull the scripts out to take a look at that. And he did.
After hearing our episode,
after hearing our episode, and pulled out the script that was on a shelf, and he said, On the cover of the script, first note on the page, and it's written to someone. I can't tell you who it's written to, but it goes.
This is mysterious.
I know. He said, please don't read this on the air, but I feel like I'm giving enough leverage to make it not. Right.
I love that you're saying, he said, please don't read it on the air.
Because I'm leaving out a lot of
you're
specifics.
You're obfuscating?
Yes. So it was written, it said, the note is, I still feel like we need clarity as to what a Street Fighter is.
Thank you.
Do they simply fight? Do they go around helping people? You just can't say, oh, they're a Street Fighter. Live with it.
We live with it.
So that is on... that is on a actual script of Street Fighter.
Did you produce that movie?
No.
Live with it. I love that was put on the front page of that script.
That's like the macro note of that script. Ugh.
All right. Moving on to our guests. We've had amazing guests on this show. So many. None of them are our favorites. They're all amazing.
I have a favorite.
But sometimes our guests kind of perform. They do impressions. And this is...
Because they're people who want attention.
Yes.
You know what I mean? They're like so... They're needy.
Yeah, they
they're
need...
They're very needy.
They need to show off their wares.
Yeah.
So here are the best guest impressions.
Best impression by a guest.
Kumail Nanjiani as the leprechaun.
Do you guys remember what the leprechaun says when he sees the transvestite? This is his exact rhyme. I wrote it down. He says, I didn't come to play with fruit. I only came for my magic flute. He calls him a fruit. It's the only thing that the good guys and the bad guys agree on is that gay people are weird. Well,
Wyatt Cinek as Stallone in Demolition Man.
He jumps out of the back of a helicopter
and yells with Phoenix.
First he says, send a maniac to catch one. Then he jumps out screaming Phoenix.
Phoenix, I'm sky fucking you.
Pete Holmes as Al Pacino in 88 Minutes.
He breaks his cell phone for no reason.
Right.
There's a scene where he breaks his cell phone.
And then takes kids.
And you have to watch American Treasure Al Pacino pretend to drop his cell phone in the stairwell.
Yeah.
And it's broken in a way that only could be done with like a bullet.
Yeah.
And he just dropped it on the ground
he gingerly dropped it.
And he kind of gives it a little voice.
Yeah. He bobbles it. He's got
Before the scene, like, what if I maybe do like a bobble?
John, get over here. John, I had an idea. What if I bobble the phone?
I'm looking at the phone. I'm looking at the way it's broken, right? And I don't... I can't do it.
You're great. I love that Al Pacino.
I don't think it would be realistic.
Julie Klausner as Al Pacino in The Devil's Advocate.
Apparently, Al Pacino...
Pal Pacino.
He did not want to be in this movie. He turned it down 5 times.
No!
Only and no! No! No!
Okay, I'll do it.
I'll take a flamethrower to that script.
Tom Lennon as Hulk Hogan in No Holds Barred.
So he rips up the check, he shoves it into Kurt Fuller's mouth.
Yes.
And he says, can I say it?
Oh, it's please. So good.
I won't be there when that clears.
Drew Droege as Elizabeth Taylor.
Oh my God, that dialect.
The dialect, which comes and goes, it sounds a lot like Lindsay Lohan from Mean Girls, whatever dialect that was.
Yeah.
The non-affected Freaky Friday dialect.
Sounds like whiskey and cocaine.
There was also all of those phrases.
Lindsay? Wait, Lindsay? Oh, no, it's true.
I'm Lindsay.
Oh my God, Lindsay Lohan.
And then she's randomly incredibly British on one scene on the yacht.
Oh, yes.
One scene on the yacht, she becomes very British.
But then it comes back to this crazy.
Wait, Lindsay? Shit. Yeah. You get me every time.
I also like
that. Is flawless.
Kevin Smith as Selma Hayek.
I know as she got there, she was on the Dogma set. When she left, we were shooting Dogma, and she came in, and she was like, I got to the Wild Wild West.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, get out of here, man. That's a Will Smith movie. And she's like, oh, my God. And so they wanted her to go.
By the way, listeners, Selma Hayek is not in the studio. This is another flawless impression by auteur Kevin Smith.
Eichmann, I'm glad you
said my God. You said nothing like Selma Hayek.
And I like that you went straight to Eichmann.
That is the most German I knew.
A lot of good ones in here. Solid
category.
Ones. Yeah. I mean, Kevin Smith even got in there. Drew Droege, Tom Lennon.
I got to say, for me, my vote's with Drew Droege as Liz Taylor.
Liz Taylor.
Oh, yep.
That's good.
It was just something like, it's not even about, was it an amazing impression? It's just about, like, I feel like he distilled the heart of it.
He got in there. He got in there 100%. All right. Interesting.
For me, it's Pete Holmes, 88 Minutes.
Yeah.
Quite possibly one of the most annoying guests we've ever had.
Yes, the most.
One of the loudest. But like a really fantastic Pacino that he was not at all shy to give us, and I enjoyed it.
Many times. I'm going to vote for you for Pete Holmes as well. And look at this. We have a very surprised guest, Pete Holmes, to accept his award.
Whoa, hey. Petey.
Hey, how's it going? It's Al Pacino. But you already knew that. I am calling in to say thank you so much for giving me the award for best impression on How Did This Get Made. I honestly can't believe it. Because even as I listen to this impression right now, as I'm doing it, it's not that good. It's not that good. Ha! But thank you, Paul. Thank you, June. Thank you, Jason Mantzoukas. You piece of shit. Ha! How did this get made? If I was the man I was 10 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this podcast. I do the Southern Pacino. I don't know if you noticed that. Gets more and more Southern the more I do it. Thank you so much for this award, and I appreciate your consideration. Pacino, out.
Beautiful.
So nice of Pete to come by.
Really great.
And, he looked great.
He looked great. Looked great. You know, he's on a raw food thing.
Yeah.
He looked really good.
Yep.
So happy for him. Pete Holmes, everybody. We are getting down to the final the categories here in the first episode. We've talked about sex a lot in this show as a group. Jason has talked about things he's turned on by, but this is a chance for us to talk about sex in a much bigger venue. And all the gross sex that we've seen in the movies. And there's been a lot of gross sex. So here are some of our favorite gross sex discussions.
The sex talk.
From 88 Minutes.
We're like, they found your semen in her vagina. I was like, Val, fucking taking some risks.
Yeah.
I thought that too. Loads right in the cave, right up there.
That's what I thought. I was like, this is a girl he met at the
wrap
bar.
Wrap it up, buddy. Yeah. Wrap it up.
Raw dogging it, Regina.
I'm Jack Graham, forensic scientist. I don't use condoms.
That's the absurd thing about this movie.
A man who makes his living swabbing up semen just blows.
That's probably why he was. That's probably why he was so shocked to find out she was an escort. Wait a minute, what? I barebacked that girl.
That's why he was so upset.
He's got to go in.
Hang on, I thought she was a law student. I wouldn't have raw dogged her if I knew she was an escort.
He spent 15 minutes going to a clinic to get tested in the movie.
That explains this burning I've got.
Uh-oh, I guess I do have 88 minutes to live.
He's going to fucking die from an STD.
From Anaconda.
They basically want you to go take everything you know about snakes, forget that, and replace it with a bunch of bullshit about snakes, and keep to that. That's what we're doing.
First of all, everything was totally accurate. No,
I am a herpetologist.
So I know.
A what?
Herpetologist.
So that's somebody who studies herpes?
Yes.
Boom! Nailed it.
Boom!
I'm exhausted just from doing that.
From Howard the Duck.
There is a boozy birdie housewife, like, having a glass of Chardonnay with her tits hanging out, diddling herself in the bath. Like, guess what this isn't for?
Yeah, that's...
Fourth graders.
That's
guess what it is for? My spank bank.
From Judge Dredd.
Now they're cadets and blah. Like, Diane Lane has a stone cold vagina in this movie. Like, she's looking.
And she would use it.
She
wants to
get plugged by Dredd.
She wants her to judge him with his dick.
He's like, he whispers to his dick, come. And then just fucks her so that's what comes out of it.
Okay.
His dick is like his gun.
All right.
Guys, do you get it?
Oh,
so
yes.
Hopefully he doesn't say to his dick, signal flare. Right, guys? Signal flare?
Absolutely.
All right.
My favorite thing,
I don't understand sex.
I'm going to go out here. Yes, they're all winners. I'm going to go out there and say that I feel like Anaconda got me because there's something about like a gross mouth kiss really upsets me. It's like sex is hard to kind of convey on film, but when you're watching tongues and mouths come together, like when I watched an episode of The Bachelor and that girl tried to kiss one of those bachelors.
Glenn Planick.
Oh, it was so upsetting. I don't like a gross mouth kiss.
Yeah, no, wet mouth sounds, as a lot of you know, I have a real problem with.
Yes.
I don't like it. I don't even like it when somebody is like eating a peanut butter sandwich next to me. Even that, like,
ugh. Yeah.
Okay, guys, I can't. That's terrible. That's terrible.
That is like, I can't deal with it. So I will also go for Anaconda.
Okay. June?
All right, it's Anaconda.
And I don't know the why. Numbers don't the numbers lie. Don't. That's we it. Crunch the numbers. Anaconda wins. Gross sex.
You're
discussion.
Getting to see how real award shows work. Now I will tell you that this is an honorable mention. I don't even really know why. It's just basically Ken going on a rant about sex that he saw in a movie called "I Know Who Killed Me." Here we go. Anyway,
sorry, right. Ken, go ahead.
The comedic scene is she brings her boyfriend upstairs and fucks him, and there's like funny, silly comic music.
I have a clip of it right here. You want to hear it?
And Julia Ormond is downstairs washing the sink, like trying Lady not Macbeth. To listen to them fucking upstairs, and it's supposed to be like a funny scene in the middle of this like. Porno movie.
And the scene goes on for a long time. The sex scene and the scrubbing goes on. But listen to the music that they underscore the sex scene with. Here you go. This is the music.
Oh my God.
They're having hardcore sex.
Do it all night. Yeah. It sounds like Cameo. Yeah. It's like a Morris Day in the Time song.
All right, so that
work it all night.
That is what is going on while there is furious sex and scrubbing going on.
Congrats, Ken.
Congrats, Ken. That's just a nice
Ken Marino, great work, buddy.
Now,
Ken couldn't be here tonight.
Nope.
No.
He's filming a movie in South Africa right now.
Okay.
It's going to be a great movie.
He couldn't
about
be
Blood
here.
Diamonds.
Yep.
It's and he didn't have time diamonds. To do like a feed from
He
South
couldn't.
Africa.
No, he we couldn't. Tried, but okay. he was abducted.
Okay. Now, we have, in addition to having great directors and writers on the show, we've also had guests that have come in with some research, and they've brought some research onto the show about certain movies that we have talked about. And these are our best guest insights.
Best insider story.
Andrea Savage with some behind-the-scenes knowledge of Deck the Halls.
Not a big deal, but I am friends with someone who's in the movie.
Allegedly.
This one I can say for sure. I think her name was Greta. She only spoke in German in it.
She was teamed with Fred Armisen.
She was teamed with Fred Armisen, Gillian Wigman. You may know who she is. And I called her today and said, I just watched your movie. And
you must be so proud.
You must be so proud.
She must be getting these emails and phone calls all the time because Christmas
season is
on the shelf. Everyone's like,
in.
I know Gillian Wigman did not know it was her in the movie.
Are you serious? But anyway, so she told me on the Matthew Broderick down yes. at the bottom of his life, she said he was so depressed the whole time and he just kept going, this is the bottom.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Allegedly. Allegedly.
But you see, but don't you believe, I mean, not that this was,
nope.
not that this was the best movie, but
nope.
if he had a little bit of life in him, that this movie would have gotten better by maybe like a point or two.
No, nope. He was dead inside. Oh. She said he literally would just be like, it's
do
over.
Guys, I almost, do you guys think Sarah Jessica Parker like feasts on his essence?
Well, according to my inn.
Oh, yeah.
Not allegedly. A big deal. Allegedly.
I hope you
allegedly.
Told her you're going to be saying this on
oh,
something
she did.
That's
going to go
on.
Full, okay. like, she gave me full whatever. But she said that Danny DeVito literally would just come out, do his lines, and get in a plane and leave, like, every couple days. He was just not having any part of it.
A team plane right over there.
Like, literally. She was just like, he phoned it in. Kristen Chenoweth had just broken up with Aaron Sorkin.
Oh, boy.
And was sobbing, like, every day.
Oh, boy.
And Kristen Davis told my friend Jillian to freeze her eggs. So.
Wow, wow, wow.
Yeah.
If I just got the answer, if I can time travel to any time, it would be to 2006 to the set of this movie. What was going
Literally,
on?
Literally, you got Broderick just like at rock bottom. I mean, this she was like...
It, by the way, by Matthew Broderick killed a human being, right? Remember that? In
yeah,
France?
With Jennifer... No, in Ireland.
Oh
in
my
Ireland.
God, that's right.
So this is worse than that.
This was worse than that.
That is not alleged.
Yeah, that is not alleged.
Joe Mandy talking about his experiences on... Jingle All the Way.
I got a disclaimer. I grew up in St. Paul, Minnesota, where this movie takes place, and I remember them filming it, and it was a really big deal.
Were you an extra at all, or were you just...
I was not an extra, but I was at the Mall of America one day when they were shooting the movie, so I saw Schwarzenegger's body double slide into the ball pit.
Oh my God. Does Schwarzenegger's body double look like? Is he as big as Schwarzenegger? Yeah.
I mean, I don't remember. I mean, it's a vague memory. It just means this movie's going to be retarded. Also, they shot the movie, I believe, in like April or May. Everyone's wearing jackets, and it was like hot outside.
Yeah. Jordan
Morris talking about his experiences working with Sandra Bullock in All About Steve.
I wanted to actually bring up a moment. Jason, when you guys were doing the podcast about it, you observed at all the kind of random physical humor there is in this that is seemingly unrelated to anything that's going on. There will just be a fall, or there will just be, you know, someone will get hit in the butt with something for no reason. And you're like, did they just come up with random points in the movie to fall? Yes, the day I was there, Sandra Bullock had to cross from the, from the area we were sitting in to, like, a fence to talk to someone. And it's just, you know, she just has to walk from point A to point B. And she calls the director over, and she said, she's like, and they do a little powwow, and she's like, you know, if you put a bunch of stuff here in the way, I could trip and fall a couple of times on the way to the fence. And he just nods, and in 10 minutes, a swarm of PAs comes over with chairs and blankets and just like all this weird stuff to put in her way.
On.
And in her cross, her just random cross, she trips and falls like 10 times. And so, yes, you were actually dead on about that. I was wondering if you had actually worked on the movie.
I did it.
All right, so
great
insights here.
If there's one thing I feel like a lot of people listen to this show for, it's insights.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. We love a good piece of insight. To me, Jordan Morris ticks this category simply because it was really interesting to hear him talk about how Sandra Bullock really wanted to fall down a lot. And I thought that added something to her portrayal of All About the Steve.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And there's something to like a real, genuine first person experience on the set. Being told on set.
Congrats,
Jordan. Moving on to best one-liners. These are one-liners that just came up in the show that we might have said, that our guests might have said. Kind of just funny one-liners that maybe sum up the entire movie. Here we go.
Best one-liners.
From The Last Airbender.
First credit up. The first title page up was written, directed, produced.
That's when I was like, M. Night Shyamalan should change his name to Boo Fuck You. Because every time it's like, written, produced, and directed by Boo Fuck You.
From Nothing But Trouble.
Dan Aykroyd's character is like a melting candle of a man that looks like he is made of garbage, a flaky skin melting garbage man.
We'll just set it up because it is a complicated premise.
He looks like a melted
there.
Sandwich in a sweater vest.
From I Know Who Killed Me.
Scene, except for that one part where she like crawls over to the old guy takes his cigarette and implies that she stuck it up her cooch.
And then
they cut away and then she hands the cigarette back to him and he smells it.
That was
That's where I started jerking off. That's where I started jerking off in this movie. I was like, oh shit.
On his reaction shot.
She's addicted to cigarettes in her pussy.
From Twilight.
Bella in the previous movies has been absolutely powerless to the men in her life.
Yeah.
Like they dominate her. And in this movie,
this is her Snow White and the Huntsman.
It really is. And you know what's so creepy about it? Is that it is like the story is basically once you get married and give yourself to a man sexually and he turns you into a vampire, then you can be a strong woman.
Yeah.
Before that, no. Do whatever the men are telling you to do. But once you get married, you are a strong woman.
Stronger than all the men.
Yeah, stronger than all the men. She's...
Wow, these are a lot of good one-liners. A lot of them, Jason, coming from you.
Are they?
Yeah, a lot. I would actually say... I would say that a lot of them are you, yeah.
Congrats,
okay.
Jason.
Thank you guys so much.
I mean, you know, you want to just give you... I mean, to me, June, you weren't here for it when we talked about Twilight, Breaking Bad Part 2.
And I know you're a fan of the Twilight movies.
People Breaking Dawn.
Breaking Dawn. Sorry. Part 2.
Breaking Bad. Twilight, Breaking Bad Part 2.
I'd love to have seen that
movie. By the way, that's a great idea.
But I think you summing up all of Twilight, you know, it was off the cuff. It was wonderful.
It's what I do, guys. It's what I do. Wow. If there's one thing I'm really good at, it's like off the cuff sum ups.
And that was it.
You know, OTCs, SCs.
Sure. Hey, congrats, Jason. It's a big night for you. So
really? Yeah. Really, thank you, guys.
How
thank
are
you,
feeling?
You know? Well, I'll be honest with you. You know, I came into this with no expectations.
Sure.
You know, like, there's a lot of great nominees. I'm, like, just thrilled to be nominated with some of the other things I've said.
Yeah.
So, oh, wait, no, really? Okay, so I just want to thank my team. I've got a great team. I want to thank my parents. I want to thank Earwolf. I want to thank all the listeners. I want to thank... Oh.
And you get eaten by a velociraptor. All right, so back to... Now, there are next level theories that we have about things that are happening. But then there are the moments in this show where we find out something that we did not previously know, that together as a group, we uncover a nugget that literally blows our minds. Our minds are torn apart. And these are some of our favorite best discoveries / revelations.
Best revelations.
From Howard the Duck, was Howard trying to fly?
They established that he can't fly, that ducks...
And can't swim either.
He can't fly and can't swim. But in the beginning of the movie, when he first lands on Earth, he does try to fly.
Excuse me?
Guys.
Describe it, please.
There's a moment where Howard, with his hands, tries to fly along the street. He flaps his hands a number of times as though he's going to take off.
I don't remember.
Where and when?
Yeah, I don't know now. I don't know the time.
That doesn't happen because he can't fly on his home planet.
That's what I'm saying.
He doesn't fly anywhere.
He's just landed in Cleveland. It's after this.
Was that it?
Was that it?
That's not it.
Wait. So we found a shot where he flaps his arms, and that wasn't
it? That's not it. I'm telling you, that's not it.
She's killing
him. Right there! Right fucking there! Thank you!
Wow, way to go, June. Wow, wow, wow. June did it. You did it. June was right. June was right. He did try to fly.
The discussion of Mortal Kombat's origins.
I didn't play this game.
I never played it either. Fuck. We're all... But I did do the research to try
Good
to figure out.
One.
To
well
just be
done.
Like, you know what? Is this a thing in the... You know, so it's pretty cross-referenced.
I didn't know there was a game. Okay, so there it was,
and what we just realized is that June went through this whole movie not realizing it was based on a video game.
Well, to be fair, I did write down at one point, this sounds like a video game.
Sounds like it.
Noises, the sound.
Oh, some of it actually is. When Reptile comes in, that's actually from the game.
Okay, because so, it does sound like...
You nailed it.
It does sound like the score of a video game, like even what you just played.
No, but the thing is, that
it did
song...
sound familiar, Mortal Kombat, those words together
Yeah, they
familiar.
Sounded like something.
But you just remembered them from fighting to the death, right?
No,
just
I don't
right
know
from my own personal
general
experience
of fighting to the death. I did know that's a familiar phrase or saying. I just didn't know.
I'm laughing because
I didn't know where it was from.
Wait, you didn't know? But in your mind, Mortal Kombat, you just thought, well, this is a very large cast of characters, and it seems to be nothing but mano a mano fight sequences.
I have a lot. I sat down and said, guys, I don't even know what to say about this movie.
You
I
stormed out of our living room three times going, this movie irritates me. And you walked out.
I had a very bad reaction to it. I didn't know what it was.
Well, we get it. You guys have a living room.
Ben Affleck's name from Reindeer Games.
By the way, I've never heard the expression Reindeer Games used.
Just in the song. That's
nope.
it.
I don't,
okay,
I,
so I kept on asking
Rudolph.
Paul. I mean, I must have asked like every 5 minutes, like, is Reindeer Games a thing? Like, are Reindeer Games...
And what would Paul say?
He said yes. You actually said yes.
I said, yeah, it's from the song, the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, that's I knew that, but I never heard this term or expression. No, like, yeah, most people don't mess around
at any time.
Well, thank you. That's
oh, I don't think it has any other meaning other than the song.
Just a well, bunch of reindeers playing around. Like, there's no other context for it.
You guys
oh,
have.
Oh, wait, there aren't specific reindeer games.
You guys have right. egg on your face because I looked today and on Urban Dictionary it came up. It goes, reindeer games refers to any fun activities which are enjoyed only by members of a clique. Which is often purposefully made obvious to anyone existing outside of said clique in order to make them feel inadequate and left out.
Well, so no that clique. Would actually yeah. that would line up though. Okay, so
but Ben Affleck has no clique.
He has no clique. He's a man by himself.
Yeah.
By the way, so Ben Affleck.
So he's Rudolph in this scenario?
Well, his name is Rudy. Boom! Nailed it! Look
what
at the
happening?
Symbolism!
No way!
The joke's on us.
The joke is
what?
On us.
Wow. What
this
just happened?
Movie just got interesting.
That's the reveal. That's
this
the
is an amazing movie.
Holy shit, my mind just imploded. Are you kidding?
Rudolph. And do you know what his friend's name was?
Oh, no.
Nick.
Nick.
Ah! Nick.
Man, I wonder if we can see. What was Gary Sinise's name? Was even come
Gabriel.
In? Gabriel. All right, so the angel Gabriel doesn't come.
Was Charlize Theron's name Ashley, but her real name was...
Blitzen.
June's confusion with Super Mario Brothers.
So Luigi's arc... Well, no, Luigi's teaching Mario to really just trust in the universe, trust that things are going to happen for a reason, just trust and believe. And Mario is trying to teach Luigi over and over to use the tools that he has with him.
So yeah. So wow. You're saying yeah. Luigi...
June just broke it down, broke it open. Take a bow. Take a bow.
That is...
Wow,
that
wow,
is June's,
wow, wow.
June's final episode of How Did This Get Made?
She figured it out. She figured it out better than the 9 scriptwriters. Well, I mean, this is just an embarrassment of riches.
This is unbelievable.
Howard the Duck. When you got the standing ovation, yeah, when people realized that he was going to fly, amazing. The fact that you didn't get the Mortal Kombat as a video game, less of that was more of a revelation, not a group revelation.
Yeah.
Reindeer games.
Amazing.
I mean, amazing. Classic. And then... Your reaction to the Mario Brothers, you had some great theory about
to
it.
To me, the reindeer games episode, the reindeer games reveal yes. of Rudy was a revelation that we all shared in together that yes. collectively blew everyone's mind.
Yes.
So that gets my vote because that was a moment that felt like true organic discovery.
Yeah. 100%.
And then so satisfying.
Yeah.
You know?
I love that one too. June.
I loved it too. I'm just wondering, didn't you guys feel
oh,
like
wow.
real dum-dums when you saw that Howard was trying
June's
to
June's
like,
trying to rally for her own category here.
Well, I'm just saying, like, that must have been, I can't imagine what that must have felt like after having been so adamant and making
the
me
embarrassment
feel like
that we
I
felt.
Was,
is this yeah. an acceptance speech?
No, I'm just
is
saying.
Is this an acceptance
I'm just
speech?
Saying, for you guys, it must have been quite a moment.
Yeah.
After being so maybe, sure of yourselves
maybe
that
we were,
that didn't happen and making me feel like such a dummy.
the votes are in. It's reindeer game. Sorry.
I like that you snuck that in there.
And
no, that was, I remember after that really feeling like, wow.
Yeah.
What did we do? We
what
messed up.
What have we done?
Yeah.
We really
yeah.
messed up.
I can only imagine what that must have felt like.
Oh, yeah.
This Reindeer Games actually was animated as a cartoon for us online. You can check it out. It's really great, the reveal of Reindeer Games. And speaking of another confusion that we had, it was in Sleepaway Camp. Who actually got killed in the beginning, how this movie started. And this is also... an unknown. We have not discovered anything about this. We are still confused by it. There's a lot of theories about it. But here is our confusion, utter confusion, over what actually happened at the top of Sleepaway Camp.
No, you
was
guys.
Was she making a
guys,
choice?
She was making a choice. The character is insane. That's true.
It is the
true.
Character has gone insane because in the cold open, which you started to talk about,
yes.
Mom, in the cold open, we see a father and two children on a little like sailboat in the middle of the lake.
Having a great day.
Across yep. from the sleepaway camp.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, they're having so much fun. And then it cuts to two campers, a man, a counselor boy, and a young girl in a speedboat.
Yes.
With a water skier
gives an unfathomably good performance in this cold open. Okay, so basically what happens is the sailboat flips over, the kids and the dad are in the water, and they've got to swim to shore.
Well, the sailboat flips over, one of the kids throws the dad out of the sailboat. Yeah.
And then
yes.
the dad
good
calls
time.
Them schemers.
Yes, you schemers.
You schemers.
They are a real couple of schemers.
So the boat flips over, I don't know why.
Yeah, that's yeah. so
don't
weird.
Don't know why. Then there's another man.
Yeah.
On the dock.
Oh, right. That guy is the best.
This is where I had some questions. He says the dock is on the way.
Yeah, the doctor.
Doctor.
On the way. As we establish later, the mother is a doctor.
And he's basically warning the dad, saying your wife is coming back.
Right. Yes.
Got it.
Now, oh, you guys, so that was his wife? That was his wife?
No.
Yes.
That was the man. See? That was the man in on the beach's wife.
No.
Definitely.
The man on the boat is their dad.
Right.
Yes.
That is their wife. The man on shore, spoiler alert, is the dad's lover.
No. Okay.
What?
It,
oh,
is,
right.
it is the
yeah.
dad's
right.
lover.
No, because that's her cousin. That the kids are.
Okay. Okay, let's just break this down without. Okay, this is my understanding of the movie, okay?
Yes.
Father and son and daughter are in the sailboat.
Yes.
Father's lover, a man, is on the shore.
Yes.
He's saying, hurry back to shore. Your wife is coming, the doctor.
And that's where you're wrong.
That's where you're wrong.
Really?
Because, right there is where you're wrong.
Because the mother that we met, the creepy mom, yeah. that's Angela's cousin.
Nope.
Aunt.
Nope.
Aunt.
It's
aunt.
Angela's, I thought, it's Angela's mother.
I thought
no,
Rick,
no,
Angela's
not.
Ricky. Mother. Ricky is her cousin.
Ricky is her cousin.
That's what I'm saying. So Ricky is her cousin, so that's her aunt.
No, because, okay, no, guys, that's the misdirect. You're missing the misdirect. Angela,
yes,
Angela,
yes.
is the daughter yes. of the crazy woman.
No. Ricky is the son of the crazy woman.
Right, and then
the gay lover is that woman's husband.
Wait,
no.
say that
oh
again.
My God.
Now.
No.
Say it again.
No, he's like, closer. He's closer. He's
closer. I cannot deal with this.
But wait, no. Because Ricky and Angela.
Why does she make. Okay.
Here's the reason.
She's because she's getting them to live with them.
Because she already has Ricky. That's why she's Angela.
Yes.
This is the setup. Okay, right. So we open on two children and their father.
Yes.
And his gay lover is on the
shore. Yeah.
And his wife is coming.
His gay lover's wife.
His gay lover's wife is coming to meet them with their child.
Where is the dad's wife?
Dead.
They're divorced.
She's dead.
She's dead.
No, they would explain that.
I mean, we have not even talked about any of the movie
okay,
yet.
Okay, let's table this discussion.
Yeah, okay.
So there is a water skiing thing going on. The water skiers decapitate the father and the son and leaving one child alive.
Yes.
Right.
Wait, do you see a headless body?
Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Guys, I just thought of something else, though.
Wait.
Okay, so the guy on the land and the guy in the boat are lovers, but they might also have been brothers.
No!
Brothers-in-law.
How do you know that, though?
Because it's the...
Jay Marks actually created both cartoons, the Reindeer Games one and the Sleepaway cartoon. They're both amazingly visually great cartoons. You can see them on YouTube.
Love them.
They're so, so good. Hopefully we'll see some more from Jay Marks in the future. I mean, he's got a lot to deal with now in these last couple episodes we've done.
Oh, boy.
And what better way to end our first of the best of episodes by playing some of our favorite Nick Cage lines. These are some amazing Nick Cage lines.
And Nick Cage, quite possibly, although we haven't done one in a while, the patron saint of How Did This Get Made.
In spirit, even though people will say that we've done more Stallone than him, he is always going to be the gold standard.
He really does. He really makes me excited to watch a bad movie.
So this will let you take it. We'll let you guys go out on these Nick Cage lines, and we'll see you next week for part two of the How Did This Get Made.
Do we?
we stay in this auditorium or do we?
We stay in for a week. We got to stay in this auditorium.
Yep. Okay. So live from the Nokia Theater. Thank you to everybody who produced the show. How did this get made? Part one. Stay tuned for part two.
Best Cage.
Perhaps it is time for you to stop bullshitting me, okay? I'm only interested in the law, sister. And I need to remind you, you are still within reach of the powers of a normal society. So if you wackos practice kidnapping and ritualized murder, it is my job.
I believe I've mentioned our stand on murder.
Murder is murder. Tell me!
Yes, I think it's...
How to get burned? How to get burned? How to get burned? How to get burned?
I don't know!
I'm Edward Malus from California. I'm a policeman. See my badge? I'm just up here to find a missing girl whom people are pretending doesn't exist.
Oh, no, not the beast! Not the beast! Ah! Oh, no, my eyes! My eyes!
Get off the bike. Step away from the bike. Take your stupid mask. He's right.
Oh, come on, you don't really believe
it. That you're a part of this? That I'm a cuckold? What? That your filthy lust invited the man? Why? Every diamond on the market in the United States is registered with the Gemological Institute of America. The weight, the shape, the grade, fluorescence, and ownership are documented, filed, etched into the stone. You get caught trying to pass off my diamonds. How soon before they connect you to my murder?
Tune in next week for part two of the Howdy Awards.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio, boom.com. The wolf dead.